This is Talk is Cheap on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. Okay, I went to the municipal court demo to support the people that had been fined for trying to help people that were being removed from a railroad track sweep of the homeless. So you're going to hear from several people about that before the demo. And then I put Jimi Hendrix Machine Gun at the end, a really great version from the movie Jimi Hendrix, because, you know, we're still at war, and nothing pollutes the environment and kills women and children and takes money away from helping the homeless like war. So that's coming up here on Talk is Cheap on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Community Radio. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. Peace out.
Yeah, all right. What's your name and organization?
My name is Jetty, and I'm with the Barefoot Defenders.
All right, so you're out here on Lincoln and 1120 and 1102 Lincoln in front of the courthouse. Why are you out here today?
In January, as the ice storm started, I was out doing outreach along the Seneca Railroad tracks, helping a 73-year-old woman that I found under a tarp. She had blue lips and was super cold, so I went and got her a tent and supplies to keep her warm for the storm, and I was ticketed along with other unhoused people living along the railroad tracks. And so
ticketed for trespassing?
Yeah, criminal trespass one, which is the most severe trespass ticket you can get.
Just for helping people, though, not for living?
No, just for helping people. And then I was out there again because that same camp has licensed scabies, and I was bringing supplies out and cleaning up tents. And I was ticketed again, so now I have two criminal trespass one tickets that I'm fighting here in court. Today is my trial readiness case, and on July 11th I have a jury trial, and then on August 1st I have another jury trial. They told me that if I didn't take their plea deals, that they would tack on two additional charges, which they did. One of them is interfering with police, and one of them's interfering with government officials. I'm looking at facing 2 years in jail and $14,000 or something in fines.
And this is your public defender is making this deal for you?
The prosecutor offered it to us, and my public defender came to me with it. He knows that I'm going to take it to jury trial, so I have no plans on backing down because I don't think I'm guilty of trespassing, so.
Well, what happens in the jury trial? Will you have representation?
I have a public defender, and he is a bankruptcy lawyer, so.
So is he qualified for a jury trial?
I don't necessarily know. I would say no, probably not, because he's not a criminal defense lawyer. I did have a criminal defense lawyer at the beginning, but he dropped my case. He said it was conflict of interest. I'm not the only one fighting these tickets right now. It's myself along with two other housed people and two unhoused people. And we are trying to do a joint defense agreement, but the municipal court has been fighting us on that. It's been really crazy.
And so there's a public defender shortage is partly why you can't get real representation, which is kind of unconstitutional.
You would think so.
Comment on that. Mm-hmm. So I heard the reason these sweeps are happening at the railroad is there's a railroad cop that comes here once a year.
Yeah.
Do you know about this?
His name is Vince. He covers, I believe it's Northern California, Oregon, and Washington. So we know when Vince is in town, things are going to go down. And currently, the four camps along the tracks that he's sweeping are the four largest camps that I know of in Eugene. And once these people are swept, that's about 200 people that have been displaced and pushed out even further out of the city. And that's, I think, what their goal is to push them out of the city. So they've started near the tracks on Roosevelt. It's all Union Pacific, the Coos Bay line. And they're pushing them further out towards Green Hill. And so yesterday they started at what we call the four-way, and they said that they're just doing cleans, so they're just going around and throwing away trash. But if somebody is not occupying their tent at the time, they're taking their tents and throwing them away. The thing to realize is a lot of unhoused people are constantly getting tickets and criminalized, and then if they're not able to make it down here to downtown Eugene, because they've been pushed out to the outskirts of the city, then they get a warrant. And so there's a lot of people who have warrants, so as soon as they see or hear a cop, they're running, and they're leaving their tents, and so now their tents are getting thrown away.
Right.
And so one of the things that we're trying to do is get people out there to occupy their tents while they're not there, and just to make sure that the police are acting right and following the rules, and we're just protecting and defending our friends that are so, like, battered by the city.
And that's what's going to happen today.
Yeah, so yesterday we went to the first, we did all day yesterday, spent the whole day helping people get their stuff moved or picked up, and then there's another crew of people out there this morning, and they're still at that same camp. So it's going to be like several days of just nonstop sweeps, and it's exhausting work.
And where, is there any place for them to go?
No, we don't know where they go.
All right, so what's the solution? What should we be doing? What, is it against the law to be indigent? Hasn't our society caused the indigence, and aren't we responsible for this indigence?
I mean, I think that technically the city can't criminalize people just for the mere fact of being unhoused, but they like to cover that with trespassing, with violating park rules, with disorderly conduct. If you look in like the police logs of what they've done, and you see those trespass, disorderly conduct, or violating park rules, that's essentially, that's being people being criminalized for being homeless.
Well, when I look at the police logs, about 30% of their, more than 30% of their calls are doing this. So they're spending all this money doing that could be spent actually helping homeless people, right?
Right. Well, their excuse is that now they have community court every Wednesday where people can come get sack lunch and take advantage of all of the resources that they have here, and
quote resources,
right? And so they criminalize them by sending them to a community court where they go through a program, and they supposedly they get lured in with this, like, being told, like, oh, if you come here you can get housing, but the truth is there isn't housing available, so they get added to a wait list for housing. And then a lot of organizations here, ones that are like paid by the city, are telling them, just go to the tracks and we'll find you housing. They're getting sent to the tracks by city-paid organization outreach organizations, and it makes no sense.
Right. All right. I'll wrap it up. But so there's no affordable housing. Where? How do we get affordable housing? I mean, I see a lot of vacancies and a lot of boarded-up buildings.
Yeah.
I suggested to the city council that they use the commercial property for temporary housing, downtown commercial property. There's a lot of empty. Yeah. Commercial housing here.
I can't remember exactly what country it is right now, but there's a country that has, like, basically solved homelessness by taking these empty warehouses and turning them into little studio apartments and giving them to them. And one of the great things is it's not like you have to be clean to live in this apartment. It's like, because they recognize that, like, people are doing drugs because of trauma responses and because of survival, and it's hard. And so it's like, let's get you into a stable place where maybe after you're there for a little bit and your trauma is kind of calmed down, you guys can, like, wean yourself off of drugs. It's kind of brilliant, and it's kind of beautiful, and the money has, or the city has money to fund these, you know, huge freaking projects like new stadiums. We have the money to turn warehouses. Right,
or they put boulders underneath the freeway off-ramps.
Oh, yeah.
They seem to have money to do that.
Oh, yeah. They have all kinds of things they do to people to keep unhoused people out of areas they don't want. Fencing, boulders, weird lights, baby shark music playing, blasting. Like, it's ridiculous the things they do.
Well, and isn't this manifest destiny too? We have a use for that property that you're leaving go to waste. So it's your own philosophy of manifest destiny. We have a right to that property.
Right. Well, and I think it's important for house people who are like, we're sick of them stealing things from us. Every time there is a sweep, the city is coming and stealing from them. And so why would they not think that they can go steal from people? Because that's the example our city is setting for them. Like, this is survival, and it's not pretty, and it's not fun, and it sucks. And so if other people want their to get stop getting stolen, then they should get up and stand up and try to find these people housing and stop, like, try to break that cycle of survival, because that is what it is.
All right, anything else? How do people get involved?
We're the Barefoot Defenders. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. Or you can email me personally at Jetty, J-E-T-T-Y, Eddie, E-T-T-Y, at proton.me.
All right, any events coming up?
We have something coming up in July from the 15th to the 20th. The location has yet to be determined, and we probably won't drop it till it's closer to those dates, but we'll be doing a week-long action so people can come sleep, and we're going to have lots of, like, homeless, like, the resources that people can take advantage of coming and doing and taking a part of it. So.
All right, thanks. Thanks for your time. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so what's your name?
My name's Jessalyn Perkins.
All right, and so you're standing out here on the corner of 11th and
Lincoln.
Lincoln, in front of the courthouse, because you're going in for a hearing.
Yes, this is my sixth court appearance to face down a trespassing charge I got while trying to distribute resources to people on the tracks who had to live out there.
And so you weren't living illegally, you were trying to help people.
Yes.
All right, and so what did they do? How did they approach you?
Well, I got a call from my friend saying that EPD was down there and that they were going to trash people's belongings. So I thought it might be beneficial to go down there and help them move their things. And I often go down there with other people to take things like water and food and to do wellness checks to see how people are doing. And so it was pretty normal for me to go down there. And in this instance, I went to help people move their things and to film any destruction of property or illegal activity on the part of the state. But when I walked, as soon as I walked up, without a word, the officer that was there that day, Strammler and Doggett also were there, they opened up their pads to write me an $800 trespassing ticket that also is a misdemeanor charge.
And because there's a zone around the railroad tracks that is owned by the, that you're trespassing on.
Yeah. Yeah. The Union Pacific Railroad owns the tracks.
All right. And so how do they justify moving indigent people, people that don't have resources?
Well, there is no real justification. We ask them all the time, where do you want people to go? What would you prefer they do? What are the answers to this problem of people existing in spaces that the city doesn't want, the public doesn't want, the private sector doesn't want? And the answer is always, well, we don't know. We can't speak to that. We can't tell people where to go. They just can't come here. And the only reason people are on the tracks, they don't want to be out there. It's loud. It's dangerous. A lot of that land is actually poisoned because of the manufacturing and the factories. They're there because they're, every square inch of Eugene has been criminalized to exist on if you're poor or if you don't have a house. But there's no justification. They don't even try to justify it.
And so things haven't changed. This is right straight out of the Grapes of Wrath, too. Steinbeck. They've been doing this since... They haven't changed their policies. This is the same thing of just move on, move out of town.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of direct quotes from people in, that vary city to city or state by state, but they just want people to leave, to disappear. There's no answer to the question, where do we go?
So what's the solution? What should be done differently, you think?
What should be done differently? Housing. Housing is the only solution. And there is precedent, like cities and states that have provided housing for people that don't have a place to live have solved the problem of the inhumanity and, like, absolute evil of, like, hurting people that are the most vulnerable, but they've also solved their economic problems. People that have houses, it's much less expensive to provide housing to the population than it is to criminalize the population. We have to increase the budget for public works. We increase the public, the budget for the cops. We pour all this money into criminalizing people that are poor and don't have a house when it would actually just be cheaper to give them houses. So it's not only housing people solves all the problems, but they're just not doing that.
Well, and so I've noticed they've twisted defund the police into something negative, where what they're saying is you're wasting your money. Mm-hmm. By funding the police, that money could be spent helping homeless people, and at least give them a foothold to move up from.
Oh, yeah.
Off the streets so that they can move forward.
Yeah, the concept of funding around like police and the carceral state is constantly twisted. Every time there's public awareness and campaigns and meaningful protest around the criminalization of people who are poor or oppressed, the narrative gets twisted into, well, we just need to train them better, or we just need to like equip them better, and that always means more money for cops and less money for the resources and the people and the groups that would actually help. It's constantly twisted, it's constantly co-opted, and our budget for our police is higher now than it ever has been, and it gets higher every day just so people can spend our money, taxpayer money, on criminalization of the poor and unhoused instead of solving the problems with solutions that we have at our fingertips.
All right, and so what happens when you go down to city council and ask for change?
We've done tons of protests at city council. We've had like dozens of people speak at city council meetings and when there's public comment, and they just nod along and they say, wow, this is a lot of really important stuff to consider. And then the next week they pass higher criminalization, like they pass more statutes criminalizing parking. They just raised a few weeks ago in the city of Eugene, they made parking limits shorter, parking prices higher, and are giving authority to more state agencies to tow vehicles and arrest people who are sleeping in public places.
Well, I know they're going to tax, they're going to add something to the electric power and power tax to pick up trash. Is another thing. So that, rather than spend that on helping people with their trash, but the other thing is, I noticed they, and I'll wrap it up. But I noticed the city council has encouraged businesses like Walmart that don't pay a very good wage, and they gave tax breaks to people like companies like Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
So aren't they facilitating the problem? We don't have well-paying jobs for people that match the rents, the price of rents.
Yeah, are corporations facilitating the problem? Of course they are. It sucks money out of the communities and into corporations, and they get tax write-offs, and they get to spin this public narrative that they're doing something good for communities when they're the ones that are robbing us. They're the ones that are making it harder and harder for regular people to operate businesses, for regular people to have decent paying jobs. And then the city is constantly shaking hands with them and passing laws and statutes that allow for them to continue to expand.
Right, and then they wonder why downtown is...
They don't wonder, they know.
Yeah.
They have the public wondering, but the state knows what's happening.
But the downtown has been extracted, the wealth from downtown has been extracted by these corporations.
Yeah, constantly.
All right, so anything else you want to cover?
I guess I would just reiterate what our demands are for today. I mean, we're here at the courthouse because 32 people were giving trespassing charges in one day, and four of us have managed to come to six court dates. We're demanding that the city drop the charges, to stop criminalizing poverty, and to work with the county to build no-income permanent housing units. Those are our demands.
Well, and these people can't afford the $700 plus fines.
It has to be no-income housing, and that would still cost the city less than they're spending now to criminalize them.
But what happens to these people when they can't pay the fine? They go to jail.
Yes. Oh, as soon as you can't pay your fine, as soon as you can't show up to your court date, you have a warrant out for your arrest, and you go to jail.
Which costs the taxpayers money.
Every part of this costs the taxpayers money.
The trial and everything.
Yeah. The trial, the public defenders, the arrests, the trespassing tickets, the constant patrolling of like unhoused encampments, all of that is millions and millions and millions of dollars from our pockets.
And aren't these people an asset to society in a way? They have knowledge. I mean, if you're living on the street, you got to be pretty smart to live on the street. And wouldn't they be an asset to the community rather than a burden?
Every human being can be an asset to the community.
All right, so any events coming up that you want to promote?
Yes, we're going to be doing a public protest campaign that's going to go on for a week called Where Do We Go? And it's going to start on July 15th. So that's going to be a high visibility public campaign to raise awareness and build solidarity between housed and unhoused neighbors.
All right, and websites you want to give out? How do people get involved?
They can follow the Stop the Sweeps Eugene Instagram or the Barefoot Defenders Instagram. Or they can email stopthesweepseugene@gmail.com.
All right, thanks very much for your time and for doing this.
For every person they house.
Say that again.
The cities save an average of $10,000 to $15,000 per year for every person that they put into housing and get off the streets.
So it would cost us less money if we
house people
and improve the economy, and actually people would people would make more money, but it would be spread around.
Right. It would improve the local economy. It would improve people's quality of life. You know, everybody, regardless, everybody deserves to have a safe, warm place of their own with the security of a door that locks and a place to store and prepare food and a place to use the bathroom. You know, everybody deserves those things. They deserve heat. They deserve shelter. They deserve food. They deserve running water, regardless of what their circumstances are.
And that's a base for them to raise themselves by their bootstraps.
Exactly. Because, you can't get a job when you can't leave everything you have in the world for 8 hours to go to work, because you'll come back and the city or the police will have taken it and you'll never see it again. You know, when you don't have a place to shower, you can't stop and think about anything to improve your life when every day is literally just survival and you're always under the threat of arrest. You're always under the threat of danger. You know, when that camp was up at 13th and Chambers, the city sanctioned one, there were people that would regularly drive by and drive through that camp at night until they finally locked both ends of it and shoot frozen paintballs at people and people's tents, house people who were just angry because people dared to find themselves on the streets.
And
you know,
and you can't go to school.
You can't
think
do any of that stuff. No.
Better yourself.
Unless you're going to pack up your entire life and take it everywhere you go with you, which is impossible for a lot of people.
Why do you think people shoot paintballs at people that are homeless? What is that just?
I think there's a lot of intolerance in this world. Honestly, I think that maybe some of them are uneducated.
Ignorance.
Right. I think that some of them are just angry because these people are in their neighborhood, but that's a very disgusting point of view, in my opinion, because they should be in everybody's neighborhood. And we should all be demanding that the city solve this problem that they've created.
Well, they should be spread out in all neighborhoods. There should be no rich and poor neighborhood.
Exactly.
There should be no wrong side of the tracks.
Right. But there is. And there are definitely places in this town that you wouldn't dare to try to put up a tent because the police would be there instantly.
South Eugene.
You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed. So tell me about the RVs that they're crushing at the...
So B&R, I mean, all the local tow companies have contracts with the city, right? And so they all have to tow whatever the city tells them to tow, regardless, or they lose their entire city contract, right? When I was at B&R helping my buddy get his RV a couple of years ago, there was 182 RVs, cars, vans, with people's belongings spilling out of them, their lives spilling out of them, photo albums. You know what I'm saying? Irreplaceable items. And every one of them had a number on them. 182 was the highest that I counted. And when I asked the tow truck driver what that meant, he said that was the crushing order. So you can't, the RVs and stuff like, especially the RVs, but they're not worth anything. Old RVs, they're not worth anything. And so literally the tow companies end up being the ones that have to scrap them and crush them, you know what I'm saying, and pay for that. So...
Well, but I mean, in sustainability, though, you would try to restore something like that or part them together, I mean, rather than just crush them for the metal. Though.
Right, I mean...
That takes a lot of energy.
It does take a lot of energy.
To do that.
Yeah, it does take a lot of energy.
I know that's a sustainability question, but...
Right.
All right, so what's the solution?
The solution is housing. I mean, that is the solution. The solution is housing.
And where does the money come from?
The money comes from stopping criminalizing poor and unhoused people. The money comes from stopping sweeping people. The money comes from stopping to prosecute people. That's where the money comes from.
And what about supporting multinational corporations? Is that... Well, does the city gives tax breaks to people like Walmart that don't
pay
a living wage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the city allows things like that riverfront property to be built, where three bedrooms are starting at $3,000 a month.
Oh, there's no low-cost housing requirement in those?
Not that I'm aware of. If you go on their website, you can see what they're renting for. It's $1,600, $1,800 for a studio. You know, why are we building that most of the people in the city, housed or unhoused, cannot afford anyway, when we're not building more affordable housing options, when we're not building no barrier shelter? That's what I want people to realize, that maybe, you know, are upset at the people that are camping in a tent in front of their house or whatever. You're angry at the wrong people. You need to be angry at the city. We could be solving this. We're not.
When I was here in the 90s, the university tore down Amazon housing, which was a cheap housing, and then they built these expensive ticky-tack houses that then, and they charge a higher rent because profit is a percentage of, the rent is a percentage of the profit, so they just raised the cost so that they make more money rather than keeping cheap housing.
Yeah. And we're seeing that all across the country.
Did you want to give your name?
Sure, my name's Trisha.
All right, but you're not on trial today.
I am not on trial today, no.
Do you want to say who you're with, or?
I mean, I guess I'm with Barefoot Defenders. I was with Stop the Sweeps, and, you know, I've been out here doing street-level mutual aid stuff, houses outreach, for the last probably 4 years here, so, yeah.
All right, well, thanks for doing what you're doing and talking to me.
Absolutely.
KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Community Radio. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media.
Do you want to make a comment?
Love to.
So, Todd Boyle, a local videographer, what are you doing out here on 11th, in front of the courthouse on 11th and Lincoln?
Well, basically, as this has been a theme for many of the previous demonstrations of the last few months, no one's free until we're all free. And I get that, because my movement, my affinity is the anti-war movement. And we get nowhere if we don't have allies, like the LGBTQ community, or other, you know, Black Lives Matter. And for that, the reason why the movements haven't really succeeded in getting critical mass is because we don't have solidarity. And so I'm out here, it makes me a little bit unsafe, makes me feel unsafe the way my city treats homeless people. Because what they're doing is just generating more and more traumatized people who then become a menace to, because of their addiction issues and their behavioral issues, mental health, they become a hazard to the community. That's a fact, not all of them. And another basic message here is that all homeless people are of different sorts of people. A lot of them just lost their job, or they just couldn't pay their rent. And then once they get into the homeless cycle, then they can't get back on their feet because they haven't got a door that locks. And so that's probably the majority of the homeless people in Eugene. And then the other cases, obviously, there are people who are lawbreakers and meth addicts and so on. And there's an answer for that.
They need to be helped.
It's called treatment centers. Treatment centers cost a little money, but it's cheaper than criminalizing. That's why we had this war on drugs for the last 50 years, and the war on drugs is over. It failed. All it did is create more drug users. It raised up the price and profitability of drugs. Nobody got off of drugs because they went to jail. It was a failure. And even finally, the majority of the population understood this and decriminalized. They're gradually decriminalizing drugs. So.
But what about war? How does war fit into this? We spend a lot of money on war, and they seem to pass a war budget in a week, but they can't pass a homeless program.
Oh, well, exactly. $1 trillion or more. And they're also making us less safe. They're not making us more safe. It's very similar to the sort of knee-jerk reaction in municipal politics. Well, let's just throw police at every problem because people complain about it. Okay, people complain about the some garbage on the street. And so the first knee-jerk reaction without analysis is, oh, let's just go and give tickets to people who are camping on the street. Doesn't work. So much of the, actually in Eugene, the homeless and low-income housing officials understand this. And so they are not as heavy-handed here as they are in a lot of other cities. So, in fact, I'm waiting for the outcome. The Supreme Court is hearing the Grants Pass versus Johnson case within the next week, and they're predicted that they're going to make a ruling. Now, you recall 5 years ago, there was a case, Boise versus Martin, I think it was, and Supreme Court refused to hear that case and thus left standing the principle that you can't sweep homeless people unless there's a place where they can go. And that's the law of the land at this point. And unless the Supreme Court comes and reverses it this week, it will be the law of a gun. It'll be doubly reinforced.
So you're only as free as how much money you have.
Exactly. That... If you have money to pay rent, Eugene loves you. But if you know, even if you're like I'm a lifelong alcoholic and I've never been a very productive citizen, but Eugene loves me because I'm a taxpayer and I have a house. It doesn't matter how you could be a war criminal from Central Africa or something. Eugene will love you as long as you can keep up the payments and keep out of sight.
And you're forced to work for an exploitative system.
Oh, everyone.
Isn't that modern slavery?
That's what we have in the United States, is because of the landowning system. The land is owned by people, so-called owned, and you either pay rent or you buy a place and join the system, or else you're illegal. You're just as illegal as illegal immigrants. In fact, you know, my two sons, they didn't have any more land than the indigenous people or the illegal immigrants. They had to start from zero. And so thankfully they had the privilege of having a safe housing and family environment so that they could get on their feet, you know. And now they've gone, graduated from college, they're doing okay.
Well, so isn't that manifest destiny? Don't we have a use for this land. We have people that need that land, and you're doing nothing with it except charging exorbitant rents or waiting for the price to go up.
Exactly.
Isn't it manifest? Don't we have a right to that property with their own philosophy of manifest destiny? That they took, and this is land that they took from Native Americans and indigenous people.
Oh yeah, in the 1840s and 1850s, they invented a system of title out of nothing and started drawing lines on the ground and saying, this is your land and this is that guy's land. And to this day, more than half of Oregon is owned by the government, mostly the federal government, but some state and local governments. Why don't they just allocate more land for housing? And it could be allocated, dedicated to low-income housing. Why, what's the problem, you know? Why don't they cut loose some of that? There's so much land in Oregon, you can see it from space. Check it out on Google Earth.
But we have a right to that land.
Everybody has a right to space. And this logically follows from the fact that you have a human body, you know? If you have a human body, it's going to take up space. It might take up 1 square meter, or it might take up 5 square meters, but it takes some space. And here's a tent that's it's 7 feet long. That's the amount of space it takes for someone to lay down. Everyone has a right to space because you have a human body. It has to do with having the right to life. You don't live unless you have a space where you can live. You can't go up in the air and float in the air because of gravity. So that means it's going to be on the surface of the earth.
And indigenous people did this for 10,000 years. There weren't homeless people. They had famine and occasional famine, but they were dealing against nature. That could happen to anybody. They weren't working against a giant corporation or the state.
Oh yeah, human right. beings have been living for more than a million years. You know, we've had fire and tools for more than a million years, and we're getting fine without capitalism and without dividing up the land and so forth.
I mean, life was hard, maybe occasionally, but it was pretty successful. It lasted.
Well, in fact, you know, if the homeless people are given half a chance, they build structures for themselves. Every place in the world, except the United States, homeless people have shanty towns that they build homes for themselves. And in fact, there's a beautiful house that was built along the railroad tracks between Seneca and Bertelson. You know, the strip over there that they've now cleared and torn down.
I remember.
And people can build their own houses. But what they do is that, you know, the system makes people, they enforce helplessness by taking away your ability to house yourself. And they say, oh, you are a bunch of a-holes because you don't have $250,000 to buy a house. And that proves that you're lame and you need to get a job, right? No. You know, this reminds me a lot of transportation. Bicycles don't need all this pavement and traffic signals. A gravel path works perfectly well if you've ever ridden much on the gravel path on a bicycle. It has no rolling friction. You just roll right along. And yet you have the highway and city infrastructure people who are getting paid six-figure salaries telling us that bicycles ought to pay taxes to help maintain the roads.
And then, did you finish your point?
Yeah.
Now, homeless people, I'll wrap it up, but homeless people would be an asset to society, don't they? Don't they have a lot of wisdom things that they would be an asset to society more than a drain?
Yeah, right across the board you have a loss of historical memory, a lot of elder people who can't pay the rent. You have a lot of religious and cleric people.
Artists, musicians,
all these sorts of people. If the rent's too high, then they are squalled away, just like as if you put on hydrogen peroxide and they have to go and live someplace cheaper. And Eugene used to be one of those places that was cheaper, and that's why we have such a wealth of artists and musicians here. And so it's so unwise, because, I mean, this is why our city is having a difficulty making moral choices and value choices, is because there's a monoculture of people who work for money, and it's all within the money system. And if you're not in the money system, then you're gone. And what remains is people who think only in terms of market economics. How can I get a job? How can I make a salary? And then I'll be able to keep up with the expenses.
Thank you. Thank you. to the ground.
That's what we don't want to hear anymore.
Utah?
Sir, I represent the Helping Hand Acceptance Corporation.
Radiation. Yes, indeed. You hear the most outrageous lies about it. Half-baked gogglebox do-gooders telling everybody it's bad for you. Pernicious nonsense. Everybody could stand 100 chest x-rays a year. They ought to have to. Canceled the project, it almost hid me in. One day my mind was a little burst. The next day, nothing swept away. I'll show them. I had a lobotomy in the end.
Lobotomy? Isn't that for loonies?
Not at all. A friend of mine had one. Designer of the neutron bomb. You ever hear of the neutron bomb? Destroys people. Leaves buildings standing. Fits in a suitcase. So small, no one knows it's there till blammo! Eyes melt, skin explodes, everybody dead. So immoral working on this thing can drive you mad. That's what happened to this friend of mine. So he had a lobotomy. Now he's well again.
What kind of car does your friend drive?
Chevy Malibu.
This is really a nice old car. Why don't you let me drive?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. I mean, don't you feel funny?
Why should I feel funny? The two hemispheres are fundamentally at odds.
Hemisphere.
Hemisphere.
You know, it's strange.
I do feel funny.